What a great turnout. Thank you all for being here, and welcome to
Sportsnet Tonight.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Shut up, listen, and learn.
Every weeknight at 8 p.m.
I proclaim this the summer of
Elia.
It's time for a Sportsnet Tonight Sports Update with Grant Robinson.
We'll start off with baseball. Alex Rodriguez has put an end to the rumors of him going to Miami, as he has announced he will not be playing for any team this season. So not saying anything about next year, but he definitely will not be playing baseball this year. Sticking with baseball, Toronto Blue Jays are in New York right now. R.A. Dickey was on the mound, gave up one earned run. They currently trail 1-0 through six innings, and in large part thanks to Chad Green. The pitcher for the Yankees has only allowed 2 hits and 11 strikeouts. Not too bad for him, so the Blue Jays are going to have to figure him out if they want to get it going. And the pressure's on because the Red Sox, who they had a 1.5 game lead on, won earlier today. So Blue Jays definitely looking for a win tonight. In Olympics last night, the world was definitely watching. Usain Bolt retained his title as the world's fastest man. He ran a 9.81 and won the 100-meter race for the third consecutive Olympics. But the story here was Andre DeGrasse, the Canadian, ran a 9.91, a personal best, won a bronze medal.
Hi, Daniel.
It was
Freddy
the 13th medal
tonight
for Canada,
we'll
but the
in
first
second,
by
okay?
a Canadian male. Also the first Thanks. Time that a Canadian has finished on the podium of the men's 100 meters since Donovan Bailey. So great news there. Some more good news today. Derek Dwayne has advanced to the high jumping finals by succeeding on all four of his jumps. And men's volleyball are currently up 2-1 versus Italy. If they win, they will guarantee a trip to the quarterfinals. And it is looking good at the moment. We'll keep you posted on that. Tomorrow, women's soccer. The women's Canadian soccer team is set to face Germany in the semis at 3 p.m. Be sure to watch that. Winner obviously gets to play in the gold medal game. And women's basketball are in the quarterfinals versus France at 10 a.m. And that's a Sportsnet Tonight sports update.
I'm looking forward to it. It's time for Dan Kalis in just a moment. We're counting down the National Football League. Wow. Team number 18 on our way to number one. That's next.
New to the country? Via Rail and the Institute for Canadian Citizenship partner to give a gift to each Canadian citizen during their first year of citizenship. The Cultural Access Pass provides complimentary admission to more than 1,000 of Canada's cultural treasures from coast to coast to coast. The Cultural Access Pass creates opportunities for Canada's newest citizens to discover our rich cultural history, world-renowned artworks, historical figures, and stunning parks. Go to icc-icc.ca. A message from Via Rail Canada.
Down the drain? That's not usually a positive thing. Unless, of course, that's exactly where you need things to go. What if they don't? Monsieur Drain is your man. He'll do a camera inspection and he'll know exactly what's going on down there. From all types of plumbing, draining, and unblocking to bigger jobs that need excavation. High-pressure jet cleaning. From the master plumber who's seen all there is in 25 years of top-notch service. Call Monsieur Drain at 514-640-0070 or simply head to MonsieurDrain.com. Free financing. They'll take your problem from start to finish. Full service, including help with your insurance claim. Monsieur Drain at MonsieurDrain.com. Customer service, their number one priority. 514-640-0070. Having a nasty pipe dream? Use your brain. Call Monsieur Drain.
Grandmaster Samuel Kwok, second generation lineage holder of Ip Man Wing Chun Kung Fu, his first visit to Canada. Authentic Wing Chun Kung Fu from the master who learned directly from great grandmaster Ip Man's sons. August 19th, 20th, and 21st. Spaces are limited. For more information, visit the official Facebook event page. Grandmaster Samuel Kwok, authentic Ip Man Wing Chun Kung Fu workshops. August 19th, 20th, and 21st. In collaboration with Lotus Kung Fu Academy and Chen Bing Tai Chi Academy Canada.
Elia. Elia.
Praise!
Elia. Elia. Elia.
Praise!
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight, brought to you by Ye Old Orchard Pub.
And it's time for team number 18 in our National Football League countdown with our NFL insider, Dan Kalis. Dan?
Hey there, how you guys doing?
Doing all right. We're ready for Team 18. I already know who it is.
It's a fitting time I came back, I think.
Yes.
I think it's
Tell
a fitting time.
Tell them, Dan.
We got the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, now I want you to know that Dallas being announced right now, Grant says it's fitting because you're a Giants fan, so that's why.
He has to, though.
That's why Dallas is coming up. Well, at least before the New York Giants. Is there any truth to this favoritism that's going on here?
I got to be honest with you. I think it's the weakest division in the NFL. I think there's only one team that's going to come out of the division. If the division is completely in the opposite order that I said, I wouldn't be that shocked. In almost any order, I just think it's a very weak division.
I actually do agree with you on that.
I don't put up any of these teams thinking that they're really that strong. It's sort of a process of elimination of maybe schedule and who they've added and who's healthy and whatnot, but they all have huge question marks.
Well, let's look. I know usually we start with offense every time I've done this with you, but the reason the Cowboys are here and in this spot is definitely not offense. It's defense you're ranking, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, the truth is the Ezekiel Elliott, there are some question marks on offense, but no, going into the season, if everyone is healthy, no, that's not their problem whatsoever. I think their problem is definitely on defense. They lack playmakers. Whatever, some of the playmakers they you know, that might turn into playmakers are suspended. I think that their secondary is weak. While I like Jones, the draft pick from last year, I think that he's going to be a real playmaker. I don't really trust their corners whatsoever. I just think that they're very weak over there. Linebacker, if Lee is healthy, he's a real beast. He is great, but he's had trouble staying healthy. So they just have question marks all over. They don't have any real strong point on defense. So I'm not really sure. You know, their only way to be better than we think they're going to be is to do what they did a couple years ago when they had DeMarco Murray lead the league in rushing so they can control the clock. They have Dez. They got Romo. If they can do all that and control the clock with the best O-line in football, then their defense doesn't have to be good. But, you know, failing that, you need to have a good defense, and they just don't have it.
I agree with you there. Look, Sean Lee, obviously, when healthy, is great. But outside of him, there's not really any real talented guys. The problem where they're going to suffer the most is the pass rush, and that's where all these suspensions have come in. DeMarcus Lawrence, they'll get him back after four games. Gregory was supposed to be four, will probably be 10 now. Again, I'm waiting on news for that. McClain, no question, my rating, if I did one myself, Dallas would have dropped. And I don't think you're wrong for placing them here by any means. My opinion, though, is that they could go above, just like you said, depending on that offense, because what they did in 2014, the defense, if you look at them, they finished 12-4. 30 sacks was bottom 10. Interceptions at 11, they were 26th, and yards allowed were 27th. The defense was horrible. It's just with that running game and a healthy Romo, they were able to outscore them. What do you think of the division's defenses and their chances of stopping this offense?
The only defense that has some upside, and I really hate to say it because I really don't want to seem like a homer fan, they overspent. I'll first say the Giants overspent on all their guys. That's just how it is. But they actually have some playmakers that can do some things. They have some corners that, if they play up to ability, could be good. They're the only defense that I think has the capabilities. Now, they're a long way from actually being a good defense, a long way. But I don't really, you know, Philly has one of the best D-lines in the league, that's for sure. And they have good safeties, but their corners aren't good. I don't know how they're going to stop Dez Bryant. You know, and Washington's defense, to be honest, I think is the weakest in the division. I just don't see them as being anything. So they're going to have problems stopping them. It's just a matter of, can the Cowboys, if they're not controlling the clock goal time, you know, can the defense ever make a stop? And then the other questions are, you know, will Tony Romo be healthy the whole year? What production will they get from a second or third receiver? And how much longer can Jason Witten continue to be, you know, the beast that he has been his whole career?
Is it too late? I mean, is there anything in Dallas that's coming up that can plug some of the defensive holes and make them better than they may be right now?
I'll be honest, I find it very surprising that while they're looking for pass rushers, they have these guys that were suspended. And to be honest, even if they weren't suspended, it's not like there's some proven pass rushers. I really never understood why they didn't go out and they didn't go get Dwight Freeney, who signed a week or 10 days ago with Atlanta. I mean, he's, you know, he's not a, this guy's no stud or anything like that, but he, you know, still helped the Cardinals last year, and he can help the pass rush. So I don't know what they're going to get from there. the truth is the playmaker on D, if Sean Lee is healthy, he really makes a difference. The guy is just all over the place on defense. He can change the face of the field. And the other guy we discussed was their draft pick from last year, Byron Jones, who's right now plugged in into free safety, but he's a bit of one of those hybrids. You know, he can also cover the slot. He can come up, you know, and cover the, you know, the running backs. He's great all around, and I think he's the guy on defense that one of their, you know, young guys that they're going to hope grows, you know, and becomes a mainstay for the future.
I think, look, the defense is definitely weak. Where I think they have an advantage is the only real offense in the division that scares me is the Giants. Nobody's stopping Odell Beckham. That he's definitely a stud. Sterling Shepard as a rookie. So Dallas, I think the key is the first 4 weeks, if they go 2-2 or better, you know what I mean? They'll start getting DeMarcus Lawrence back. They'll get that pass rush back. But outside of them, I want to make sure, because I wasn't here. Who do you see as the third team in this division before we continue? I wasn't here. I need to know. It's Redskins or Eagles?
Redskins was the bottom, then the Eagles I did the next day.
Yeah, they came back to back. You know, I think it's one or the other. I don't think anybody can split. If you're picking one and then the other, you're splitting hairs here.
Okay, I just needed to make sure.
I agree with Elliot for sure.
So look, my last, where I want to go now is the offense. Because I really do think, and this, look, you made some comments about the Giants. I honestly don't think you're being a homer. They have the best defense in the division, and they made some very big additions. Like you said, they spent. But the Cowboys, with this O-line now that's in place, arguably the best O-line in football. Raiders are great too, but they're definitely there. What are the expectations for Ezekiel Elliott with this O-line? We saw what DeMarco Murray did. McFadden had 1,000 yards without Romo even there. What do you expect from him?
The expectation is high. I mean, they drafted him really high. The guy was unbelievable in college. The question is, the problem is being out and injured now. And for a guy like him, you want him to get the reps in. You want him to practice. And the fact that it's the injury that it is, it's he's got a hamstring injury. Often those are the injuries that either linger or they come back, or if you rush it, you know, you rush back and you re-injure it. If he can get back and be healthy and be good, I think he's going to be a beast. I do think it's good that they have Alfred Morris. They signed the guy. He's not like he's a stud, but he's had some very good season with the Redskins. He's a professional running back. He can get the tough yardage. And I think when even McFadden comes back, I think, to be honest, in this day and age, no one needs to, rush a guy 300 times. I think the fact is, if they can have all those guys being healthy, I think all of them together running behind that O-line, because I think it's the best O-line. There's no real weakness at any spot on the O-line there. They could do everything. That's their secret weapon to the season. I mean, Dez is dead. He's going to be a beast. But if that running game can take control of games again, they can win games.
This question I want to ask, look, it's not about the preview necessarily, but I personally think you always hear Tony Romo is the most overrated guy in the NFL, but everybody thinks he's overrated. So how can you be overrated if everybody thinks you're bad? You're a Giants fan. I actually want your opinion. The last few years, he's been a very different quarterback. 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, then 34-9. He's not making the big mistakes he used to. Maybe that's the O-line. Who knows? But what do you expect from him this year? Again, health. Take health out of the equation, because he's a huge question mark with that. But if he's healthy with this team, what do you expect from Romo?
I'll surprise you when I say that I think Tony Romo is underrated in terms of when you look at the regular season, what he does out there. I think he's fantastic. You know, everyone likes to talk about, you know, running quarterbacks who, you know, get extra plays. This guy breaks tackles and does things. Sometimes I'm watching him, whether it's against the Giants or other teams where you think they got him down. He breaks away and he has an amazing play. Just for some reason, it always seems to happen in the playoffs, and I can't put my finger on it, but some of the time it's been his fault, some time it's been some else. Something always weird happens, and it seems to be a little bit too much, you know, to have nothing to do with him. It just seems weird stuff always happens. But when you're talking about the regular season, if we're putting health aside, this guy is great. He could throw the ball. He can make every throw that anyone else could do. He can make it on the run. He's not like he's not a running quarterback, but he's not a pylon like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning were. So he can move out there in the pocket. He's great in the regular season. He just, unfortunately, sometimes, like I said, it's been him. Sometimes it's been other things. Sometimes it's just been weird, bad luck. But things just haven't worked out their way in the playoffs.
Talking with Dan Kalis, our NFL insider, as we count down to number one. And we're at number 18 right now. All right, off our countdown, the big news from the NFL, they're threatening discipline, including suspension, for players refusing to cooperate with the league's investigation to steroid claims made by, again, Al Jazeera American Report. Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker James Harrison, Packers linebackers Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers, and former Packers linebacker Mike Neal. They have until August 25th to comply with the league's request for interviews, and they've been asked seven times already, and nothing. So what's going down here?
Look, again, without having, you know, direct knowledge of any of these guys or what's happened, often the way I would see it is if you didn't do anything wrong and you didn't take any of these things and you want to be have to be tested or whatnot, so go there and be tested and prove that you didn't do anything wrong. That being said, you know, without knowing the details of the rules with the NFLPA, maybe this, you know, there's something from the past. If Al Jazeera is talking about past stories, maybe that's not, you know, applicable here. James Harrison seems to be the most vocal guy, and he seems to be a guy that's pretty serious about not wanting to go ahead and meet with the league. He made some comments about if Roger Goodell wants to meet with him, he'll have to come and see him at his place. I don't really see that happening anytime soon. So Roger Goodell hasn't had a problem laying down the smackdown on things is you know, like foolish as balls being inflated or deflated. If it's going to be about PDs and about guys not showing up when they've been asked to show up, I can't imagine that he's going to go lightly and not give them any type of punishment. If he says they're going to be punished, if these guys don't show up, I think they're going to be punished. And for guys like Harrison and Peppers, they're at the end of their career. I don't think they want to be messing any games. And especially for Green Bay, it's a couple of guys on their team. That's huge losses if these guys miss any games at all. Every game in the NFL when it's a 16-game season is a big loss.
Thank you, Dan Kalis. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, everyone. Good luck.
All right. Last of the bottom half coming up tomorrow. The Browns, the Niners, the Titans, the Ravens, the Lions, the Bucks, the Chargers, the Rams, Falcons, Bears, Dolphins, Washington, Eagles, Saints, and now the Dallas Cowboys.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways. Pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes, I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves. And they're slow moving and green.
Wow. So many cowboy songs, I wasn't sure, you know. It was Big and Rich. I was thinking about running that one. Of course, there's always Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys, which was a possibility.
Which has
well.
Been fitting the past few years, too. I mean, it hasn't
still
been
still in
great.
The middle of the pack. They could still win. They can win the division. They can go to the playoffs.
And I think they're hit or miss.
Of all the years that the Cowboys had decent teams and then messed up in the playoffs, it's going to be one of those years when no one expects anything from them, and then they're going to do something.
That's so, what I'm hoping for.
Of course
That's what
you
I'm
are, Mr.
On.
Cowboy fan. Of course you are. Anyways, and you – now, I know that you haven't put the teams from 32-1, but you see your Cowboys as what?
I think they literally have the exact same team they had 2 years ago, but the O-line is played. They have two new additions to it that are better. Lael Collins wasn't there. The defense was horrible that year. They went 12-4. If the offense can run the ball the way they did, which I don't see why they couldn't, I really see them winning the division. I do. But again, like he said,
not
I don't think he's
division.
Wrong to put them 18th.
Right.
They could go anywhere from 8th to 18th, and it's not going to be wrong. They're going to decide it on the field, that division, this year.
All right. Daniel Yorio coming up next. We'll talk about an event coming up this weekend. We keep telling you about things that other people are doing. How about something that you can do? It's a Kung Fu workshop, and Daniel Yorio, who knows all about this stuff, will tell us what's coming up on the weekend next.
feel very bright. Dude who brings you this show called Sportsnet tonight. Grant Robinson will be there too. They've got sports and interviews. Don't be late, cause the show gets underway every weeknight at exactly 8 p.m. And the old man calls it quits at around 10.
All right, that's Daniel Iorio. And the real Daniel Iorio will join us in a moment or two to tell us about the Kung Fu Workshop coming up this weekend. Meanwhile, it was a loss on the weekend for the Montreal Impact.
Hi, and Daniel. It's Freddie with Sportsnet
talk
tonight.
Talk to Giovanni Sardo.
Good. We'll have you on in just a moment, okay?
Informer.
Thanks, sir.
Informant. Secret weapon. Tell us about what went down, and we certainly hope to hear. I hope we have enough time to hear from Rosie McLennan, gold medalist on the trampoline, one of two gold medals that Canada's won. She won the only one 4 years ago, and she talked to Ben Ennis of Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto. Still to come on today's show, but making his first live appearance on our show, because he's on every show singing and talking, it's Daniel Iorio. Hey, Daniel, how are you?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
That's not your real voice. How are you?
Oh, man, this is kind of surreal, actually, yeah, you know, hearing my voice in commercials and these goofy songs, and then here I am talking about something rather serious. So, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, Grant.
How are you? By the way, all the additions, probably my favorite part of the show. I don't understand how there's not a best of album yet. I'm waiting for it.
You the man.
I was concerned that you would because there was 4 days of Freddie, and then Freddie wasn't, and so I thought, oh my goodness, maybe Freddie, but it wasn't. Anyways, you gotta listen.
Great, by the way,
what's that?
So Freddie did a great job.
Of course, Freddie did a great job. Yeah, sure. There's no wishy washy here. Only the best.
No, you bring the level up there, Elliot, right, for sure.
All right, what's going on this weekend? Tell us about the Kung Fu Workshop.
Okay, well, Grandmaster Samuel Kwok, who is my teacher, is a kind of a legendary Kung Fu martial artist. He was born in Hong Kong. He pretty much lived most of his adult life in England. And he happened to learn this form of Kung Fu, Wing Chun Kung Fu, from the two sons of a very well-known grandmaster, great grandmaster Ip Man, who was famously known for teaching Bruce Lee. And it's a form of Kung Fu that's unlike any other, really, and it's, you know, it's not based on brute force. Anyone can really do it. It doesn't matter how strong or weak they are, how old they are. It's suited for any physical capability. It's great for your health, and it's great for self-defense, and he's going to be spearheading a workshop this weekend. It's his first time in Canada. We picked him up at the airport last night and showed him around town today. In fact, introduced him to the poutine last night. Uh-huh. That was the first thing that poor man ate. He came. Oh, good Lord. We saw some of the sights today, and of course, Friday night there'll be an open talk to the public. It's free from 7 o'clock onward. And he'll do some demonstrations as well. That's at Christ Church Beau Repair, by the way, 455 Church Street in Beaconsfield. And that'll be followed by a two-day seminar workshop, and tuition for that is $250, which is pretty much standard for these type of things. And there'll be full-day events. We start at 11 a.m. on Saturday and at noon on Sunday, and he'll be doing, you know, routines, forms, showing applications and whatnot.
You'll be on television tomorrow morning telling people on breakfast TV here in Montreal on City what you're telling us now. Are you nervous for your television appearance?
No, I was more nervous about this, actually.
Oh, stop it.
I don't know. I've done kind of stuff like that before. I've been involved in film and theater and played shows. You always get a little bit of the butterflies before you go on, and it's usually positive. It's good kind of adrenaline. But he's going to be doing most of the talking. I'm just going to be the idiot that he manipulates, so it's perfect. I'm just going to get my head kicked in, and hopefully that'll attract a whole bunch of people.
All right, let's see. The Man Wing Chun Kung Fu Workshop. It's this weekend, 3 days, 19th, 20th, 21st, at the
Christchurch Borough Fair.
Your fault. You didn't put a T in it when you sent me this. And I don't know. You know, Christ.
I wrote that really quick, by the way.
455 Church Street in Beaconsfield. And come on, Daniel. I mean, you've done all kinds of things. You've been a singer. You've been a musician. You've been a writer. You've been many things. And so how did this become what's important to you now?
That's a great question. I didn't see that one coming. But I've been doing martial arts since I was a little kid. My folks put me in judo when I was 11, and I was blessed to have a Japanese teacher, so right away was learning real judo, and moved on to karate as an adolescent, and then kind of discovered chicks and hanging out at Fairview throughout my teens, dropped martial arts for a while, and then rediscovered kung fu, and truth is, Elliot, it's always taken better care of me than any of the other things that I have dabbled in, and it's just that equanimity that it brings, you know, like I'm not a fighter at heart, but I've been trained to fight. It's really the whole system of practicing something traditionally that might be lacking in a lot of martial arts schools today and in MMA and whatnot. I mean, they're amazing warriors without question and athletes, but, you know, the whole package sort of brings you to this place that's that we kind of need today. You know, life is stressful. It's difficult. And if I didn't have my practice, you know, I would, have to make crazy songs for radio shows and do stuff like that. Oh, wait a minute. I do that.
Okay. Daniel Iorio.
Hey!
This event taking place again. Christchurch Bull Repair is 455 Church Street in Beaconsfield. If you'd like to find more information on the subject on Facebook, event under Grandmaster Samuel Kwok, KW. Okay, and be sure to watch them tomorrow morning on Breakfast Television on City TV. Daniel, thank you for everything and best of luck.
Thank you so much, guys, and keep up the great work. Love the show.
Great to talk to Daniel on the air. See what he's up to. Very interesting event coming up. If that's up your alley or if you want to check out something new, there's always an opportunity to learn something new in your life. Catch him tomorrow on Breakfast Television. All right. The Impact. They're coming home now for those two games. We talked about the four-game swing that they had. Three at home, one on the road. Hopefully they would take nine. Figured that they would all come at home. So they won the game at home, scraped together a late goal, and lost on the road on the weekend. So now they have the two home games coming up. What'll be different from that road game to the home game? Giovanni Sardo coming up. First, Grant's update in just a moment.
We already told you that earlier last night, Andre DeGrasse and Usain Bolt had made some news. Andre DeGrasse ran a 9.91 to win the bronze, but here is...
Well, you got to tell people this is a Sportsnet sports update. Sportsnet
I didn't wanna,
tonight sports
my
update.
My bad.
I don't know it's my bad, because I usually come in and say that, but if I'm not here...
I fell apart there. I fell apart.
No, you started with the update. It was good. It was my part that was missing. So that's what it is. Go ahead.
But here's some other news. For people who think maybe, well, it's just a bronze, right?
Right.
And while he's the first man to do it for Canada and it's only news because it's Canadian, well, Andre DeGrasse yesterday became, forget Canadian, worldwide became the second youngest medalist in the 100 meters in the last 50 years. So
Wow. It's
not just an incredible Canadian achievement. The future is really bright for this guy, especially considering he didn't even sprint his whole life, right? He just found a pair of cleats at one point and tried it standing, which was
we'll
an incredible
in
story.
Moment, okay?
Actually, he didn't find a pair of cleats.
The
first time they saw him run, he was wearing
someone else's spikes, yeah. and then he went, wait a minute,
excuse me, yeah. What are you doing?
Definitely one of the most intriguing stories I've heard, but that's good news for Canada there. We had already known. Today, some more good news. Derek Dwayne has advanced to the high jumping finals by succeeding on all four of his jumps. The men's volleyball team, we let you know earlier, were looking good against Italy. They closed it out. They did win, so they are guaranteed a trip to the quarterfinals. That's the first time they have beaten Italy in 15 games. They had lost 15 straight to them, so a huge win there. Tomorrow, Canada is hoping for two more big wins. First in the women's soccer, the semifinals are set Canada versus Germany at 3 p.m., and in women's basketball, they're in the quarters versus France at 10 a.m. And in baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays are in New York. They currently trail 1-0 in the eighth inning. Chad Green threw 6 innings, 2 hits, 11 strikeouts. R.A. Dickey actually pitched very well, only 1 earned run, but the Blue Jays are still looking for that tying run. And that's a Sportsnet Tonight sports update.
Brought to you by Lester's Deli. Planning a party? Lester's Deli, my friends. Let the tradition and experience of 65 years of making smoked meat perfect put you at ease. But a party is much more than smoked meat, be it for 10, 50, 100, 1,000. Lester's Deli has everything to take care of any amount. Call them 213-1313. The bread, the mustard, the pickles, the coleslaw. If smoked meat isn't your thing, okay, perhaps you should call someone about that. Have a look at the menu online. Everything you need for party perfection. One of your kitchen, out of your kitchen, like you were at Lester's Deli at 1057 Bernard. They'll deliver to your party. Give them a call. 213-1313. You can't do better than 65 years of love, tradition, and the Lester's Deli experience. We'll talk Impact Soccer next with Giovanni Sardo.
Elliot. Elliot.
Hayes!
Elliot. Elliot. Elliot.
Hayes!
Elliot. Elliot. Elliot.
Hayes!
Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
And Greg Robinson.
But this whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks.
All right, Giovanni Sardo coming up next. I want to remind you, tomorrow, yes, we are back tomorrow. Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson, CFMB 1280 in Montreal. Of course, Canada with two huge games tomorrow. They play soccer, big one. Semi-final for Canada against France. Win that and you go to the gold medal game. And we will talk to Jorge Sanchez, who's been taking care of the information concerning Canada's women's soccer team for us. He's the head coach at Concordia for the women. And, of course, basketball tomorrow. Dan Kalis, NFL Countdown, team number 17. We're ending the bottom half. And the Jimmy VC free agency thing goes full blast, right? Because he's not actually a free agent until midnight tonight. So that's when Buffalo loses their rights to him, and he becomes a free agent. Andrew Berkshire will join us tomorrow. More on the Olympics and a whole bunch of other stuff. So please join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Time now for Impact Conversation with Giovanni Sardo. Hey, Giovanni, how are you?
Disappointed, but still smiling.
Why are you disappointed? You know, we talked last a week and a half ago about the four-game stretch coming up, and it was all about 9 points, and we pretty much were thinking those 9 points were going to come at home, and they probably weren't going to win on the road, and they didn't.
But you still expect them to, you know, put in a fight, to put in a decent effort, and the Impact lost this one. For me, by the time that the starting 11 came out, the game was already lost.
All right, so 3-1 and at New York, and now there's a whole lot of belly aching going on concerning the Impact and the league's officials.
Well, look, you know, a lot of people are saying Jesse Marsh, with all the complaining that he did in the media about the MLS referees, it ended up helping the Red Bulls. At the end of the day, with what happened to the Red Bulls against the Los Angeles Galaxy, any manager would have done that level of complaining, and of course it's going to affect the game. But at the end of the day, the game is played on the field despite the referee. And, you know, the game that the Montreal Impact played was absolutely subpar. Mauro Biello was out-coached by an assistant coach in the MLS.
All right. So what was it about the game that, you know, that makes you say that? What happened?
Well, first of all, you know, you go into the game and Patrice Bernier is injured. So now you have to make a switch in your lineup. And he decided to go with a 4-3-1-2, bringing in Callum Malice, playing him completely out of position. And when you only have Piatti, Drogba, and Mancuso playing as your forward part of your lineup, you're not giving your guys enough support. A better lineup would have been something with a 4-4-2, removing Malice and putting a more offensive weapon, someone like an Oduro, like an Ontivero, that can help build the play, be a little bit more dangerous, use their speed and skill to help free up extra space for the other guys.
All right, but generally very difficult to win on the road. So, you know, stopping the other team from getting goals on you, it seems to me that they had more problem on the defensive end than they did on the other end of the pitch.
Well, it's clear that Laurent Sima is not at 100%. He said it during the week that, you know, he was getting close, but he's not there. And it showed in this game. Victor Cabrera, who's a very good young center back in this league, is a great support player, but when he has to do too much, that's where he becomes a little bit error prone. And defensively, this is where a guy like Donny Toya on the road would be more beneficial than an Ambrose Oyongo, who ended up getting a red card for a silly tackle. You know, the whole defense was in shambles, and we didn't see the Evan Bush that we saw against the Dynamo. We saw a very hesitant Evan Bush, who was afraid to come off of his line, afraid to make, you know, the tough call, the tough run, and then ended up costing.
All right, it's a Chicago Fire here, and then 4 days later, DC United. They win these two games, everything's going to be all right, right?
Not necessarily. When you look at the standings in the Eastern Conference, there's a lot of teams that are fighting for positioning. You know, the Montreal Impact right now are in fifth place. You've got, you know, DCU, Orlando, and the New England Revolution all trying to move up. These are key games that need to be won, you know, but nothing is guaranteed. They need these two, but it needs to continue, and they need to pick up wins on the road. If they want to be serious MLS Cup contenders, you're going to have to win at least one on the road. So this whole, you know, we can win at home, but, you know, lose on the road, they have to start figuring something out for road games.
We talked about the teams behind them just now. I mean, they do have a nice cushion between them and the teams that are out of the playoffs, so they look in a comfortable position to make it, but they are losing track on the teams ahead now. How important is it to have one of those top spots in the division instead of, you know, sneaking in with fifth or sixth?
Well, take a look at the way the Montreal Impact are playing on the road. The last thing that they're going to want to do is start the playoffs on the road, because they've shown to be a very inept team away from Stade Saputo. So, you know, just making it for them isn't enough. If they want to have a chance to advance and progress, they're going to need some home games in the playoffs.
All right, Giovanni, good stuff. We'll talk to you Friday about the game with the Chicago Fire coming up on the weekend.
Sounds good, my friend. Have a good one.
We sailed on the ship John B., my grandfather and me, around Nassau town we did roam. Drinking all night, got into a fight. Well, I feel so homesick, I want to go home. So hoist up the John B. sail, see how the mainsail sets. Call for the captain ashore, let me go home. Let me go home.
All right, why don't go you home, Impact. Go home. See how it all works out. Kind of listening, used to the Beach Boys singing that one. A little Johnny Cash for you, because Johnny can sing anything. Well, he could.
I've never heard him sing that, but as soon as you hear his voice, it's pretty clear who it is. There's no questioning who's singing that when it's a Johnny Cash song, that's
if,
for sure.
If he could sing Nine Inch Nails, okay, then he can sing anything. Fair. That's like one of the biggest hits of the last 20 years, Johnny Cash singing Hurt. Anyway, Impact at home against the Chicago Fire on Saturday. That's a 7:30 start, and then 4 days later, it's DC United, and then I know the week after that, it's Toronto FC, which they seem to have the Impact's number. Boy, that I think that would be the most important and the best feel for them in the entire season if they were to go to Toronto and win a game there, because there's something about Toronto FC playing against the Impact where things don't go the Impact's
and they've
way.
Been great recently, too. Toronto has definitely turned it around. They've been winning almost. They drew this week, but been winning every game since. So that would definitely be a big win to get the confidence back.
All right. Speaking of being great lately, the interview that Ben Ennis did today with Canada's double gold medalist, Rosie McLennan. That's coming up next.
Bergevin traded him for Cameron Diaz.
I'm the guy. Ding, 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 ding.
It's on me.
Sportsnet tonight.
My intention is not to trade
Welcome
PK.
Welcome back.
This is out of game.
Your dreams were your ticket out.
Let's come out with it.
Welcome back. That same old place that you laughed about. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Back in business, baby!
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Elia. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Elia. Finally, my stupidity pays off!
It's Net Tonight with Elliot Price in Montreal, along with Grant Robinson at CFMB 1280 AM. From Sportsnet 590, the Fan in Toronto. Great interview, great opportunity to talk to the only Canadian athlete to repeat, only female athlete to repeat a gold medal at the Summer Olympics. Very impressive. On the trampoline, Rosie McLennan. She brought the flag in, and she continued a terrific tradition. Her second gold medal in conversation with Ben Ennis.
Rosie McLennan joins us on the line right now from Rio, two-time Olympic gold medalist, defending her gold medal in trampoline. Rosie, thanks for this.
No. Thank you for having me.
So you won the gold medal on Friday. It was dramatic for everybody who watched at home, everybody who was so emotionally invested in that for you. And now you're done. You get to sit back and relax and just wait for the closing ceremony. So what is life like for you now in Rio that you are... You're through and you succeeded and maintained your gold medal.
It's been amazing. I've had the chance to go see some events. I got to watch Andre Degrasse get a bronze medal last night, and I saw Brian Thiessen-Eaton's bronze medal ceremony. So it's been really great to be able to cheer on some of the other Canadian athletes and also get a chance to actually chat with them in the village and also spend some time with my family while they're down here.
So you're in a super special class, right? One, you're an Olympian, which very few people in the world are. But then you're even in a more elite class than that because you're a gold medalist. And you're in an even more elite class than that. You're a two-time gold medalist. Do you get into anywhere extra special when you're a two-time Olympic gold medalist? Like, do you get the front row seat yesterday for the men's 100 meter?
I haven't really pushed it or tried that too much.
Oh, you didn't
yet,
flash that medal around?
We'll see. No. It was very generous, actually. Belle gave me the tickets so that me, my boyfriend, and my brother and sister-in-law could go. But, I guess that's a perk about it. But I haven't tried to push it too much yet.
Can you, before we get back to the trampoline, because we're all also coming off the high of yesterday's 100-meter final, what was that like to be at in person? I've never been. It just seems so intense watching it on television, the build-up to it, and the sound right before the gun goes off, and you know it's going to be over in 10 seconds. What's it like to actually be there for that?
It is absolutely intense. The energy in the stadium is incredible. The silence that exists, I guess, right before the gun goes off is like... really eerie in some ways, but yeah, as soon as the gun goes off, the entire stadium was on their feet and just cheering, and it was phenomenal. And man, those guys run really freaking fast.
yeah, that's to say the least. Talking to Rosie McLennan, back-to-back Olympic trampoline champion in Rio. So Rosie, I want to get into trampoline culture with you because it interests me and producer JD Bunkus to no end. Were you a person that had a trampoline in your backyard growing up in King City?
We did have one, a little bit, but I started in a trampoline gym, like, with lessons when I was pretty young, and my parents were really great about putting my siblings and I in all sorts of different sports to let us find things that we really enjoyed and things that we could be really passionate about.
But I feel like in 2016, everybody's super safe, right? We're all PC, and we're all afraid of being sued. I feel like the days of the backyard trampoline might be behind us.
I don't know. If you get the right trampoline, there's some safe ones out there, like the spring-free trampolines, that eliminate a lot of the risks that might exist with some of the other types of trampolines. But it's obviously something that, like, children need to be supervised. I mean, you're not going to let your child go swimming in a pool unsupervised. Why would you let them jump on a trampoline unsupervised?
Yeah.
So there are definitely precautions around it, but I think if you get the right trampoline for your backyard and you enroll your kid in a few classes so they can learn some basics, it can be a really great way for kids to be active outside. It can be a really great way for parents to get involved and active with their kids. It's a great workout for everyone. And, I mean, you can't help but smile when you're on a trampoline.
So you wouldn't recommend what I did as a kid, and my cousins had a trampoline, and I put it next to the pool, and you bounce into the pool. Like, that's a bad idea, right?
I wouldn't recommend it, but I can see why it might be fun.
It was fun. Talking to Rosie McLennan, of course, the flag bearer at the opening ceremony. It was amazing to see you lead the Canadian delegation out at the opening ceremony. I think everybody now, if they were betting, they would say it's probably 16-year-old Penny Oleksiak to be the flag bearer for the closing ceremony. Have you met Penny? Have you had a chance to talk to her and interact with her family after the incredible first week of the Olympics that she's had for this country?
I haven't had the opportunity or the privilege to meet this phenom of a young woman yet, but I'm really excited and hope I do get to over the next few days, especially now that we're both done competing. I've heard nothing but nice things and great things about her. Not only in the pool, but out of the pool as well. So I do look forward to getting the chance to congratulate her and offering up any, I guess, guidance if she might want it or need it. But I know she has a huge amount of support around her.
Yeah, I'm sure there's tips you can give her on holding onto that flag. What the correct angle is? Do you want to hold it into the wind? Yeah, I'm sure there's there's a lot.
Hold it high and wave it proud.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's you and it's her and it's The women's soccer team continues to roll along, the women's basketball team. It really has been all about the women for this country and everybody enjoying watching that. Do you guys feel a sense of sorority that it's been such a great Olympics so far for the Canadian women?
I mean, I think it's been a great Olympics for Team Canada generally, but and I think the entire team, male and female, are really connected as one team. But there is definitely a momentum that you feel, and once people were getting great success from day one, you can really feel that momentum, feel that motivation and inspiration in the village. And I was definitely inspired by the rugby girls and some of the other girls that competed before me, but I think I was also inspired by all of the Canadian athletes who performed, whether up to their hopes and expectations or not.
So we know as the flag bearer for the opening ceremony and coming off the gold medal you won in London, there was a tremendous amount of pressure on you, I imagine, to repeat as champion in trampoline, Rosie. How different was it this go around in 2016, knowing that you had broken through once before and that you were the face of this country's Olympic delegation going into these games to repeat and do what you did last Friday?
I think it was like Marnie or someone who said like privilege or pressure is a privilege, but I don't know. I really tried to go into the competition with the same mentality I had going into London. I didn't know what to expect. I definitely, in a lot of ways, did not expect to stand on top of the podium this time, especially with the great success that Lee Dan has had in this past season. But all I wanted to do was go out there, put on a good show. Hopefully do the best routines that I could possibly do, but more importantly, hold that joy of my sport in my heart and also the strength of my family and their support in my heart as I went out there and got to share my love for trampoline with the world.
Well, when we're...
Doesn't stop. So there you go, an opportunity to listen to gold medalist Rosie McLennan and the interview she did on Sportsnet today with Ben Ennis. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Very busy show coming up tomorrow. I don't know that we'll know where the free agent is going. His camp says they're going to take their time. They're in no rush. The Jimmy Vesey free agent sweepstakes gets underway after midnight tonight. The Hobie Baker winner, emblematic as the top college player in the United States, has or not necessarily in the United States, but at a U.S. college. How many Hobie Baker winners have actually had significant National Hockey League careers?
It's a good question. I know what significant. It's tough. They don't really do well. Even the especially the signings, right? These late signings. What's his name? Not Schultz. Oh my God! He just
was Paul Kariya a Hobie Baker winner? Did Paul Kariya win the Hobie Baker? Did Adam Oates?
I think Kariya did. I think you're right. Kariya.
Did Adam Oates win the Hobie Baker?
If Kariya did, he's definitely up there. That's right. And I'm sure you're right about that, because when you said it, it made sense.
Neil Broughton, George McPhee, who's now the general manager of the Vegas team, Tom Kervers, who played on the Stanley Cup winner with the Montreal Canadiens, Tony Herkes, and everybody wanted this guy. Tony Herkes, when he was a free agent back in 1987. Kip Miller, Paul Kariya won it, 1993. He'd have to be the best. Chris Drury would look like he was having a good career. Ryan Miller has won the Hobie Baker. And perhaps Johnny Hockey and Jack Eichel.
Those two will.
Back-to-back winners, 2014 and 2015, with Jimmy Vesey winning it this year. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. We thank our guests on the show, including Dwight Walton and Giovanni Sardo, and, of course, Daniel Kalis, counting them down in the National Football League. Daniel, back tomorrow night with team number 17 in our NFL countdown. Andrew Berkshire with the hockey conversation. We'll talk with Jorge Sanchez about Canada's game. Hopefully a win and on to the championship in ladies soccer. They play France tomorrow. Busy day for Canada at the Olympics, and we'll take care of business here tomorrow night. On behalf of Santiago Betancourt is back behind the controls. Freddie Uni, Grant Robinson is back across from me. I'm Elliot Price. This has been Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price at CFMB 1280 Montreal. You can catch our podcast at sportsnet.ca.
Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
There's a lead pass. In on goal, McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada.
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it. Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They score!
The 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ball game in the bottom of the ninth inning. The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions.
And now, here's your host, Elliot Price.
Well, Canada's female domination of the medal taking isn't over for Canada, but at least it's not a shutout any longer. Sprinter Andre DeGrasse got the men off the schneid, grabbing a bronze in the Olympic marquee event. Men's 100-meter sprint, a 21-year-old following a pair of 30-somethings. He certainly sits now as the man who would be king. Of course, not before Usain Bolt decides to hang him up. Even if NBC said he was from France, and we know now, as we knew before, that everyone makes mistakes. But this Canadian lad is not exactly an Andre come lately. He's the NCAA and Pan Am champ. It was quite refreshing to hear him handle his post-race interview duties. No boastfulness that often comes with moving on up. Some say you have to have a big ego to rise above them all. He thanked those that helped, and of course, the one closest to him, his mom. I don't know him, just as you don't really know the Montreal Canadiens other than what they want you to know or what's hit the press by mistake. But he seems to be a nice kid. And he will have every opportunity to be one of the most celebrated athletes in the world. The heavyweight boxing champ used to be right up there, but times have changed. Fastest man in the world is still all that. Your country is quite proud of you as number three in the world. Stay as good as we think you are. It's better than being a number one jerk. You ever see the list of top entertainers in order of their golf handicap?
Never seen that. No.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Alice
Cooper. I don't know if he's up there. I know he's an avid golfer, and he plays all right. But one of the surprising ones, and I wonder, his dad's probably spinning in his grave. But Frank Zappa's kid is a single digit handicap golfer.
I'm on my way. That's a lie, but. Yeah. Working on it.
What? Being an entertainer?
Single digit. Single digit.
Well, you hit the ball a long way, and that helps.
It's going to take a while, but...
All right. Don't worry about it. How is Florida? Grant Robinson is back, ladies and gentlemen. If you could... It's radio. It's a shame, because you can't hear the applause. But soak it in.
Everywhere.
Feel it. Feel it, baby.
It's everywhere.
Hey?
No, it was great. I loved it. Look, Florida, maybe not the right time of year to go.
No.
Well, summer here is hot. There is hotter.
And you've heard it from like, everybody, right?
But again, we're going to visit...
in August.
We're going to visit friends. It was the only time that really worked schedule-wise.
Yeah.
But... definitely beautiful. I told you about Topgolf, pretty much coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
But I loved it. And you know what? It was cool to see the contrast of Olympic coverage. What's news here compared to what's news there? I found it very intriguing because there, you know, Penny, who here I'm sure might have her face on one by next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, there nobody was really, it was, well, what's the big deal, right? She tied for gold.
Yeah.
It was
like,
the other girl who was
they don't get it. The
headline.
Right.
But again, they have, what, 60 medals or something?
I had the big argument with Expos pitcher Joey Eishen trying to explain to him what it would mean if Mike Weir won the Masters with the year that he won it. So an American wins, it would be no big deal for him. It would just be another face in the crowd for us. It would be the first ever of anything. Hello.
And we've had some... Look, the storylines are there, and it's not like we're looking for storylines. I'm actually impressed with what Canada's done. Look, we're not a powerhouse in the Summer Olympics. We know that.
Yeah.
But I'm very impressed with some of the performances so far.
We've done fine. Busy show tonight. Speaking of our performances, I was talking about Andre DeGrasse, the coach of the relay team, Glenroy Gilbert, who won a gold medal as a member of the relay team back in 96. He joined Dean Blundell this morning. No, he joined Jeff Blair. He joined somebody, and we will definitely hear from him during that interview. It was indeed Jeff Blair. Arash Madani was with Dean Blundell, and we'll get his take on the last couple of days from the Olympics. We'll talk to Dwight Walton, our very own, on the Olympic women's hoops, which are coming up tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that. Also coming up, next team up in our National Football League countdown. We are at number 18, so... that will leave one more team before we hit past mediocrity and start working our way towards good. On Friday, it was the New Orleans Saints, and they were Team 19. So Dan Kalis will join us coming up just after 9 o'clock. Daniel Yorio will join us. He'll tell us all about the Kung Fu Workshop. Wing Chun Kung Fu Workshop. What's that about? I don't know. But we'll find out. Daniel Yorio, who you hear here all the time. All the time. You don't even know you're hearing him and you're hearing him. And what happened on the Impact's weekend? We'll talk to Giovanni Sardo and also Ben Ennis in his interview on Sportsnet with double gold medalist Rosie McLennan. So great show for you tonight. And, of course, the opening always brought to you by Miss Your Drain. You know, it's nice to associate yourself with the best. Because then all you have to do is tell the truth. Miss Your Drain is the best. Sooner or later, you'll run into some sort of drain or pipe problem. You'll be happy you were listening to this show and I was telling you about Monsieur Drain. Not only will he do a better job than anyone else in town, he'll do a camera inspection and he'll know exactly what's going on faster than anybody else. And that means better and less expensive. Call Monsieur Drain at 514-640-0070. Simply head to MonsieurDrain.com. From all types of plumbing, draining, and unblocking, from the master plumber who's seen it all. 25 years of top-notch service. Who says so? Well, you do. You do. You've given them the Consumer Choice Award for 3 consecutive years. You say so. Miss Your Drain, 514-640-0070 or missyourdrain.com. He's had 9 or 10 days to write the next opening face-off.
Grant Robinson,
this
just
better be good. It has to be silver, at least bordering on gold. That's next.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
All right.
Nice to be back.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen. Grant Robinson with the opening face-off.
Well, look, we're going to start simply. I wasn't here last week.
After a week, we're going to start simply.
So we're going to take a look back. We're going to take a little look back. Okay. Not on all of them, but okay, to start off, not counting last night. So Andre DeGrasse, take him out because we're going to count that as week 2 of the Olympics.
And okay? We're going to do that when? In September?
No, well, we can still talk about that. But for this question,
okay,
within the first week that happened,
okay,
and not counting that, what was your favorite moment of the Olympics thus far? Your favorite Canadian moment that you've seen?
Oh, my favorite Canadian moment in the Olympics thus far. That's a good one. Let's see. You know what? Probably the comeback against Serbia, because I was yelling at the TV.
I saw you tweeting that, and I wasn't watching.
But I'm very into both the women's soccer and the women's basketball, so it's kind of a tie. You know, every game that the soccer team has played, and I'm not a big soccer man, you know, I'm a big basketball guy. So I'd have to say the surprising, and I'm not surprised. It's not surprising because that's what I yelled at the last Olympics, when Canada scored against France and won the bronze medal. So between them, those are my favorite
moments
so far.
And look, I'll be honest, I didn't get to watch those. They weren't on TV there. Yeah. But I remember you were tweeting at one point, and I saw that. So I went and looked at the score, because what you said, there was 2 comebacks, I think. 2 separate times you wrote that. So that's there for me. Again, I didn't get to see that, but no question for me. Penny Oleksiak, well, what she did, look, Rosie McLennan winning gold after being the flag bearer is great. There's no question, but we kind of expected that. This is a girl, I've never heard her name before these Olympics. I didn't expect her to go out and win us anything. The relay was good, but it's always better when it's individual. And that one where she won, the women's 100-meter freestyle, tying for gold like that, the way it came up made it look like a silver. Ended up being a gold. She's 16, the youngest Olympian to ever do it, and now most successful in one Olympics. Right. Like, this is crazy.
I hate to say that I almost expected her to win the gold in that race. I mean, she wasn't a surprise anymore.
And that's fair.
When she won gold medal, her emergence was awesome. But by the time she won the gold,
it had
built to the gold medal, and she had pulled away to help Canada in the relay before that.
She was
a known commodity by the time she won the gold.
And 4 medals, look, give the girl credit. Canada doesn't have athletes like that.
It's the same thing as I said last week. It's the right sport, right?
To get multiple medals.
You're either going to be a speed skater or you're going to be a swimmer, and you have an opportunity to run up the count.
look, that's there for me. I'll say that again. I can't wait to see her in 2020. Obviously, she'll be 20 years old. And it seems like most of our top athletes right now are the younger people.
She might have three Olympics ahead of her yet.
And that's true. So look, now Canada out of the equation. To make this fair, well, let's look at the Olympics completely. Outside of Canadian moments, what has been your favorite non-Canadian moment, sorry, of the Olympics?
My favorite non-Canadian moment
could be any
the
sport,
Olympics.
Anything.
I have no favorite non-Canadian moment.
I have not enjoyed a single
I really
second.
Don't care. You know what? I don't know that I've watched very much that hasn't involved the Canadians. It could only be something that had a Canadian in it. So I would say I really enjoyed the whole run-up to the men's 100. You told me I can't talk about
fair.
It. Too bad.
No, but that's fair. Like, look, Usain Bolt still
he
won.
He seems
that's
like a nice
Canadian.
Enough guy. He hasn't been in trouble. He hasn't been a bad guy. So I enjoyed. I
no
didn't
drugs.
Mind that Usain Bolt won. So good on that. That was fun. It was a fun day yesterday in the anticipation
it was great.
Of the grass and all that. And, you know, Usain, only in the semifinal he gave
the belt
check there.
And he wasn't as arrogant. Like, he's not arrogant. It's more confident. He has fun.
Yeah.
And I'll say this about the guy. I was trying to explain to my girlfriend when we were watching it. She's like, well, how long is it going to be? I'm like, trust me, it's over. Like, we're flipping 10 minutes before, because if you come late to this, you miss the whole thing.
Honey, I hate to tell you, it's almost as quick as...
For me, look, no question, watching it there, I said this building up to the Olympics, Michael Phelps, yeah. I've watched him at all his Olympics. The whole Laclos and him rivalry, where Laclos, Michael Phelps said, the times are... I'm not going to swim this, but the times are so slow, I might as well try for another gold. And Laclos said, I swam one faster than you have in 4 years, so he could shut his mouth.
Yeah.
Did you see the way they were looking at each other?
Yeah, right.
And when he won the... Like, who talks trash after a swimming meet? I thought it was great.
All right.
Phelps
did nothing for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought his reaction was priceless. And, and I'll be honest, it's like golf when Tiger Woods did it. It's once he's gone, no one, like, it's not the same. He kind of was above it. Nice way to end there. And the Ravens stopped their football game to watch it. That was cool.
You know what we liked? You know what we really liked? We were watching the table tennis here the other night.
Oh, that's intense.
And watching them stare the ball down and tippy-tap it on the table and roll it on their palms before they serve it. I thought that was one of the most unique things I've ever seen. And we enjoyed that. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm going to stick with Phelps here. This is, again, this is going to come up at the end, because at one point it's going to be Bolt or Phelps. We're not doing that yet because Bolt isn't done.
Yeah.
But right now, sticking with where he is and what he's done now. Where does accomplishments rank? And you kind of touched on this when you said the swimming for the medals, but do you think he has a legitimate argument? Not that he is the top athlete ever, but that he has an argument or kind of a chip in that to where he could be the greatest athlete ever.
Well, he can't be the greatest athlete ever. He'd have to be the greatest athlete ever in his sport.
Well, that's...
Because if you win the decathlon, you're the greatest athlete ever, because
pretty...
you have to do 10 different, completely different things.
But when you think of it, I mean...
All he does is the same thing in a different way.
In a different way.
As I said last week, what if they gave away for high jumpers, right? A medal for a guy who goes forward, a medal for a guy who jumps over backwards. Hey, then there's
you're still the best jumper.
Come on.
And you could win more.
There's the side jump.
Give Usain Bolt a 150 meter race.
There's the butterfly
120
jump.
Meter race.
I'm just, you know,
I get what you're saying. Run with your arms.
Quite very
swinging.
Impressed when you've run up the amount of Olympics, not the amount of medals, but to come back and do it again and again and again.
That's such a high level.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
I'll say this to me, what separates it, forget the 23 gold medals, forget the 28, because like you said, that's swimming, and if you're great, you will. For me, it was Beijing 2008. Yep. 8 events, 8 golds, 7 world records that still stand.
Yep.
That's pretty unbelievable, and I mean, he pretty much put it on the map. I liked watching swimming because of Phelps. Period.
Okay.
Next one. This one, we talked about it. We gave the Olympics a hard time, let's be honest, leading up to it. And we talked about how much was going wrong. What's the biggest black eye on the Olympics thus far since it started? There's been a few, right?
Well, you got green water in the pool.
The green water,
that's not a
and
good
it's
one.
Dark.
And then for the, you know, and the girls and the guys that were diving, you just dive and you come right out. You know,
if you're
playing water polo and you got to stay in the water the whole time and they put in something that to try and clear the water and the guy's eyes were burning, go try to play water polo when your eyes are burning.
I saw that and I thought it was a Photoshop. When I saw the pool turn green, I
they'd
was like
to a Photoshop.
Okay,
shocked at the normal color. That's what they like to do.
But they fixed it, because I saw it now. The diving today had the blue pool. So whatever they did seems to have worked. But that, and we talked about this before the show.
Yes, but the swimming events are over.
That's true. It's true. They got it cleared up right for the track.
Nice.
Right. And now
there's water on the track, but at least it's not falling from the sky green.
I got to say, Lochte, and we talked about this before the show, Lochte held that gunpoint with three other Olympians. Let's be honest, you're not seeing that at Vancouver. When Vancouver had the Olympics, you're not seeing four Olympians held that gunpoint.
There were problems in Atlanta, you know?
Fair. I'm just saying it looks...
Yeah.
You had it with that, you know, the U.S. is supposed to be staying at some compound, no? What is Lochte doing out on the town? You know, you just get to that cruise ship and stay there. But yeah, there's been the pool turning green.
We talked to Ghislaine Landry, who won a medal with the Canadian girl rugby sevens, and she talked to us from a cafe downtown with her family. They were out and about.
I would dress as poor as I can if I went out there. Like, leave me alone. I'm with you
guys.
So,
in other words, kind of the way you look right now.
Oh, I miss you.
Take a picture and tweet it. What? No, am I lying? Tweet out a picture. People know.
Wearing a Blue Jays shirt and I'm a horrible person now. Come on.
I didn't say you were a horrible person.
Last question.
Yeah.
We're looking forward now. What are you most looking forward to the rest of the Olympics?
I'm looking for the finale of the soccer and the basketball. As I said, you asked me before the Olympics. I said I was looking forward to it. And you stuck with it. Yeah.
And you have, like I said, you mentioned women's basketball you've always been a fan of. Women's soccer has been growing on you, and you've been very honest about that.
I was ready, you know, because it was the thing that we all agreed upon during the last Olympics. It was the number one thing that brought us out of our chairs. We were pissed when they got robbed by the Americans. Yeah. Oh, such a shame that they're gone, eh? And Hope Solo really improved
her classy.
PR.
Very classy with that. Yeah.
And then they beat France, and so that was really cool. 3-0 to win the bronze medal last time. Now they've played three of the top countries. 2, 3, and 5 they've played. And now they got to continue. It's
and now
wild.
You
got to
play them again. So if they do make it, if they win tomorrow, that's a guaranteed gold or silver. So I'll take that. Yeah. But me, I'm going to go a different way. I loved it yesterday. Might have only been 10 seconds long. But Usain Bolt and Andre DeGrasse are going to go at it again.
Yeah. I'm looking forward for the 4x100.
Exactly.
Canada
that's
will
the
have
two
a
things.
Chance on that. And we'll hear from Coach Glenroy Gilbert coming up in the next half hour.
So a lot has been done, but there's a lot to look forward to. And that's two of the biggest things I'm waiting for.
That was silver bordering on gold there.
That was a tie. It was a gold tie.
The opening face-off with Elliott Price and Grant Robinson.
Lester's Deli, tradition and love, my friend. 65 years of doing smoked meat, perfect. Whether out of the Magic Kitchen at 1057 Bernard or your very own kitchen, tasting exactly at home like the meat cutter at Lester's Deli, like he came home with you to serve it. You see, Lester's Deli has perfected how to package the love that they have for smoked meat. So when you take that Lester's Deli tradition out of your fridge, drop it into some warm water, be careful to open it a little at a time. Lester's Deli will help complete the experience for you. Call them at 213-1313. The bread, the mustard, the pickles, the coleslaw. Day is done. Gone the smoke meat. Pleased another party. The Lester's Deli experience, 213-1313 for the experience and tradition at home. 1057 Bernard, come see Bill the Legend in his natural habitat. Voices coming up next. All right, so welcome back. It's time for Voices. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price and Grant Robinson. This is CFMB 1280 Montreal, and we're here every Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 8 o'clock. All right, time to get Arash Madani's take on the Olympics. The last couple of days wrapped up in this from the Dean Blundell Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan in Toronto.
We're witnessing and have witnessed two of the greatest Olympians ever right before our very eyes over the last 2 days. I mean, what Michael Phelps has done, guys, is just on another planet incredible. And you know, how many more golds is he going to win? But what we also saw is somebody whose competitive fire is unmatched. Chad Laclos of South Africa called him out, and Phelps was on a mission, touches the wall first, looks over at Laclos' lane, who didn't even medal, and gives him the Dikembe Mutombo finger wag. Like, I mean, you just don't poke the bear, you don't instigate him. So first we see Phelps rewrite history again. Then we watch Bolt. I mean, what was that? That was a dude kind of out for a jog. He was waving to somebody in the crowd. He grabbed a cup from a lemonade stand and, you know, made sure that the camera flashes didn't blind him, and he still won gold.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how remarkable he is. And then, you know, the Olympics are divided basically by the swimming and the track as the two marquee events. For 2 years, we've been hearing about DeGrasse. He had his coming out party last night. And what impressed me the most about Penny Oleksiak, though, is now that her Olympics are over and the meet is over, is that she had a chance to become the most prolific Canadian Summer Olympian ever. She won the four medals, tying her. She could have won a fifth. Didn't in the 4x100 relay. But what we learned about her, even at age 16, is that she's accountable, too. After that race, she said, I feel like personally I was focusing on finishing the race to finish the meet rather than racing the race. And she was disappointed with how she did and took the blame for it. So she's been a 16-year-old kid showing some accountability. We're learning a lot here in these Olympics about some of these athletes.
Sportsnet's Arash Madani on early this morning in Toronto on the Dean Blundell Show. Meanwhile, Glenroy Gilbert was on with Jeff Blair. What does this mean, Andre DeGrasse winning the bronze medal, for the rest of the relay team going forward in a couple of days?
I think what's going to happen with these guys is that really they're going to rally around the success that they saw yesterday, and they're going to just build on that the same way we did in 1996 behind Donovan's 100-meter victory.
All right, more coming up with Glenroy Gilbert. He coaches the relay team. And we'll hear from him from his interview with Jeff Blair. Meanwhile, Dwight Walton will talk to us about Canada in basketball. It's France tomorrow, and Canada needs to win the quarters to move on.
Whoever feels better tomorrow morning, whoever executes tomorrow morning, whatever the coaches put the game plans out to succeed, whoever's game plan works tomorrow will win the game. So the pressure is more tomorrow morning. I fully expect Canada to win, but it wouldn't shock me if the French come back and use how they lost 10 days ago to Canada to their advantage so they can work a game plan that will help them win tomorrow morning. The pressure is definitely ratcheted up. It is the final eight, and if Canada lose tomorrow morning, they're simply out of the tournament.
Well, Rosie McLennan doesn't have to worry about being out of the tournament. She's won it. Two Olympics in a row. Gold medal again. She talked with Ben Ennis at Sportsnet and said she wasn't sure that she was going to win this one.
Lee Dan, the girl who ended up third. When I watched her routine, I actually turned to my coach and said that will take it. And she was, as I said, she was the one to beat here in our own community. But unfortunately, I think the pressure got to the last competitor. And when she had a few flaws in her final routine, and based on her routine, I did think, I mean, you never know, but my coach kind of looked at me and said that he thought I would keep it.
And she did. Meanwhile, in hockey, everybody's talking about Jimmy Vesey.
At this time, I would like to present the winner of the 2016 Hobie Baker Memorial Award from Harvard University, Jimmy Vesey.
First off, I'd just like to congratulate Kyle and Thatcher on their outstanding seasons this year. You know, I've seen both of these guys play, and either one of them could be standing where I'm standing right now. So congrats to you guys on your season. Second, I'd like to take a moment to thank the Hobie Baker Committee for selecting me as this year's winner. It's definitely a huge honor, and definitely joining elite company as well. Anytime an individual receives an award like this, you know, it's clear that they didn't get here by themselves. And I think I'd like to take right now to offer thank yous to a lot of people who helped me get to this point.
Wonder how he would feel if he knew that he was going to a team that was he was on a team that would have PK Subban on it. But he's not going to be a Nashville Predator.
Yeah, I don't see that one turning a 180 there.
He's not going to be a Buffalo Sabre who had his rights. So I have his rights until midnight.
Still might, but I agree
tonight.
With you.
Why
I don't
you go
see
there?
That.
Well, no, he would go. They could always offer him more than someone else is going to offer him,
but not. You can't. He's got a guaranteed. Yeah. No matter what, he's getting. So it's really, where do you want to play? And that's why I hate hearing that your Chicago Blackhawks are in the running.
Well, from what I hear, Chicago and New Jersey, Chicago, with New Jersey as a dark horse, are now the front runners. Although, you don't know.
I just hope he gives his dad a call, ask him where he thinks he should go. Maybe his brother. Talk to them a bit, see what happens.
Why is that, Grant?
That's where I would go. You know, I'd ask family first. But no, his dad is a scout with the Leafs.
Oh, you see, there it is, huh?
But, you know, when you're competing with the Blackhawks, it's a tough race to win.
Andrew Berkshire will join us tomorrow. We'll talk about that and all things hockey. And now that you're back, Grant, finally, we can hear the next volume of What the Hell Are They Talking About? Didn't want to run him while you were away because, let's face it, Daniel Iorio kind of sticks it to both of us. So I haven't listened to it. Anything could happen. Here you go. What the hell are they talking about? What the hell do I know about women's volleyball? I don't know. Today, because today is the next day, it was a special day. And before you wake up tomorrow morning, if you're tired of hearing about it, you better move out of town. This will be one of the longest-running shows in Montreal history. John Wayne, Vera Miles, and Lee Marvin. Folks who know nothing at all.
Aren't you one of those people?
I'm not here to grow.
Which is fine. Just maybe don't say it. To not grow it, you know how you do it? You just don't grow it.
Don't make me come over there.
You don't have to say, no, I will not be growing.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
Well, I don't know. And I'm sure, looks like
I'm sure his future wife is thrilled.
Well, that part,
at hearing
yes.
that information. For that guy, nobody actually knows his name. Maybe we'll find out.
What does Elliot and Grant think? That's what's important. That's what the people want, anyways.
That's the only thing that has ever been important.
There you go.
He's got more to say.
How dare you?
Shocking. And just about everywhere you go, that's what you hear. But it was a completely different way than what people are used to. And it took a little. I loved it. I thought it was terrific. But, hey, look, do whatever you like. You know that you're going to run into some criticism when you do it. Things will happen this year that'll make things completely different. You know, I'm not impressed. There's only three words, my friend, that matter. I like it. Okay, that's the bottom line. Began a huge career, but not for Patsy Cline, who was the singer and perished not long after. This song was written by Willie Nelson, and one of his first big hits that he wrote for somebody else. And of course, eventually Willie decided to sing his own songs. It turned out to be a hell of an idea. All right, coming up, very, very busy, my friends. We will talk to Dwight Walton about Canada's chances. Tomorrow, semi-final action. Canada against France in basketball. We got quarter. It's semi-final?
Tomorrow will be semis.
Semis?
I'm going to look it up, but I think I read semis.
Semis.
For basketball?
For basketball, it's quarters. Right. For soccer.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
All right. So Canada and Germany in basketball? In soccer. I knew that. Well, I'm looking at you and I'm going, what am I talking about? Canada, Germany in soccer and Canada, France in basketball. And we will talk basketball with Dwight Walton. Coming up. It is time for a Sportsnet Tonight Sports Update with Grant Robinson.
Last night in the Olympics, the world was watching the main event. The men's 100 meters was on, and Usain Bolt retained his title as world's fastest man. Bolt ran a 9.81 to beat Justin Gatlin and win his third consecutive 100-meter gold. Also making headlines in the race, however, Canadian Andre DeGrasse ran a 9.991 to win a bronze medal, his 13th medal for Canada, first by a Canadian male The previous 12 were won by females. It is also the first podium finish in the 100 meters for Canada since Donovan Bailey in 1996. Today in Canadian action, Derek Drouin has advanced to the high jumping finals by succeeding on all four of his jumps. Also, Canada's synchronized swimming duet of Simoneau and Thomas have advanced to the finals. Men's volleyball are currently beating Italy, which if they win would guarantee a trip to the quarterfinals for Canada. And tomorrow, women's soccer semifinals set for tomorrow, Canada versus Germany at 3 p.m. Be sure to tune in for that. And women's basketball, they have the quarters versus France at 10 a.m. for the right to advance to the semis. Also, men's 200 meters, Andre DeGrasse will be back in action as the qualifying rounds will get underway tomorrow. And in baseball, Toronto is in New York. They currently trail 1-0 in the top of the fifth with R.A. Dickey on the mound, but they do have two men on with only one out. So we'll keep you updated on that. And that's a Sportsnet Tonight sports update.
Just shut your yap, sit your ass down. It's time for Elliot Price, the host of this catastrophe. It's called Sportsnet Tonight. He's been around a long time. The guy's an artifact. He's passionate about his sports and also about snacks. The man sure loves his snacks.
Say hello to my little friend.
Sports talk here every weeknight. The blind leading the blind. Here comes Elliot Price.
I'm actually despairing.
Welcome back to our Basketball Insider. Dwight Walton knows what it's like to play at the Olympics. How are you doing, Dwight?
I'm very good this evening. How are you doing, Elliot?
Doing all right. Canada, the women, of course the men are not there, have played the games that they've had to play. Now it matters. What do we make of the last game? Canada falling behind plenty, making it back to a couple of points, and then falling off.
You know, listen, as I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago, going into this tournament, it was understood that the U.S., Australia, Serbia, and Spain were the teams to contend with as far as Canada was concerned. This does not slow Canada's legitimate contention in terms of a medal. Have they been exposed a bit in these last two games against the U.S. and Spain? A little bit, but listen, as you just said, it is what it is. The preliminary round is over. They're now in the medal round, and they have legitimate medal contenders. Canada has established themselves as one of the best teams in the world. They are in the top 10. They have consistently improved since 2012. And the one thing they do have going for them, Elliot, is that they're much more experienced. They were a young group 4 years ago in London. That experience at the Olympics definitely helped propel them throughout this four-year run here, and they're much more prepared for this medal round than they were 4 years ago in London. So I'm extremely confident in this group. Yes, they had a setback in the last two games, but those are against two teams that are ranked ahead of them in the world and are legitimate podium contenders as well. So, listen, they play France on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. It's going to be a good game to watch. They just beat France, I want to say, a week or 10 days ago in New York at Madison Square Garden. So that should give them a little bit of confidence. And as Montreal's Lizanne Murphy has said, who happens to play professional basketball in France, they have a nice little rivalry going with the French team. So this is what sports is all about. And they are looking forward to that quarterfinal match against France on Tuesday morning.
One thing Canada has established, Dwight, is that they can come from behind, but man, that takes a lot out of you. And now they've tried to do it in three consecutive games, worked against Serbia. They certainly came back against Spain and ran out of gas. The United States, I don't know how many teams are coming back against, but it would be nice to be a front runner and let the other team come after you.
Well, the one issue that I do have with our national program is that we don't have, outside of maybe Naira Fields from Montreal, of course, and Kia Nurse, and to some degree Maya Marie Langlois, we don't have guys, women that could put the ball on the floor and create their own offense. Canada's offense is more Princeton-style offense, if you will. A lot of backdoor cuts, a lot of ball screen handoffs. Not really somebody you can give the ball to when the shot clock is running down and just ask them to say, you know what, get us some offense. So what the U.S. and Spain did over the last couple of games, Elliot, is that they scouted our team extremely well.
and our offense can sometimes be quite robotic. And if the first option doesn't work, they are looking for another option, which isn't necessarily there because their creativity really isn't there. This is not to say that they're not great basketball players individually, but it would help to have players that can create their own offense when stuff bogs down, especially when the shot clock is running down. I know the U.S. women's team is a bad example to use, but of course their versatility is what holds them over every other team in this competition in the world, of course. Because of their versatility, because of players being able to create their own offense when the shot clock is going down, that definitely bodes well for them. And that could be an issue as to why Canada's offense seems to bog down, especially in the fourth quarter, as you saw against Spain on Sunday afternoon. Hopefully that problem doesn't arise once again, but it isn't a weakness that Canada will have to probably improve in future international competitions.
Talking Olympic basketball in the medal round with Dwight Walton. He an Olympian for Canada. You talked about Kia Nurse being one of those players that you could give the ball and have her put it on the floor and go to the hoop. So why didn't they? I mean, if the first option doesn't work, why don't you have a plan for someone like Kia Nurse to take the ball and go? Because that's not what I saw against Spain.
Yes, and that's the thing. It's not, again, as I said, Canada has power in numbers. Their strength is their depth. But I think their strength is more predicated on team play. And it's just ironic that when you talk about the U.S. men's basketball team and you compare them to the other European teams, a lot of these NBA players revert back to their isolation offense so they can show off their one-on-one skills, as opposed to teams that play with a more cohesive style of offense. But this is where it would help Canada when we're talking about here, when their offense breaks down, you can give it to a player like Kia Nurse, Maya Maria Langlois, Montreal's Nyra Fields, girls who are very, very good at individual skill. But at the same time, it's difficult when you don't have many of those players. You can basically force your best players into bad shots, into hero shots. And more often than not, you're not going to make those shots, especially when you have players that you basically want to, as the Spaniards did yesterday, they took the ball out of Kia Nurse, out of Nyra Fields, and out of Maya Maria Langlois' hands, because they knew if you gave it to somebody else, that is not their strength. You don't mind having those three players take hero shots and have somebody else try to beat you. So, listen, their roster is what it is right now. They can't make any changes according to the rules. So this is what they're going to have to go with. Canada's chances of meddling at these Olympics are still very strong, but if there is one weakness that they have, Elliot, this is it. They don't really have players that can go out and get their own offense. So you're going to have to rely on your team play, and their defense, for the most part, has been pretty solid in this tournament. So that is their strength going forward.
All right, if you're ever going to feel pressure, if you're ever going to feel tight, man, the quarterfinal, because if you don't get past that, you don't play for a medal. So this is it. And how does Canada match up against the French?
Well, as I said earlier, they like their matchups against the French. They just beat them a week or 10 days ago in New York City at Madison Square Garden. But as you said now, the pressure is going to be ratcheted up. It's, as I've said many times on Twitter and to all of my family and friends, when you're playing an international competition, it's not when you win, it's when you lose. And you may have a gaudy record through the eliminations round, but as is the case for Canada tomorrow morning, if they lose, they're out of the tournament. So whether Canada likes their matchup against France or not, it's a one-game playoff. And as we know in sports in general, anything can happen in one game. This is not a best of five or a best of seven playoff series where under normal circumstances, the better team wins. Whoever feels better tomorrow morning, whoever executes tomorrow morning, whatever the coaches put the game plans out to succeed, whoever's game plan works tomorrow will win the game. So the pressure is more tomorrow morning. I fully expect Canada to win, but it wouldn't shock me if the French come back and use how they lost 10 days ago to Canada to their advantage. so they can work a game plan that will help them win tomorrow morning. The pressure is definitely ratcheted up. It is the final eight, and if Canada lose tomorrow morning, they're simply out of the tournament.
With Dwight Walton, and one more question for you, Mr. Basketball. We saw the French knock Canada out before they got to the Olympics. Are the Americans starting to feel some pressure? I mean, they barely held off the French in their last two games. I know that 2 games ago they ended up winning by a lot, but it was a close game for a while. What's going on there?
Here's the thing, and I'm glad you asked this question. The USA basketball program can't win and lose. It can't win and lose here. If they win their games by 40 points, there's people out there who don't want them in the Olympics. Then when they win games by less than 10 points, what's wrong with the Americans? The rest of the world is caught up. The reality is the rest of the world has caught up, and we have to get used to this. Are the Americans still favored to win the gold medal? Absolutely. Do they have their best players representing them at Rio right now? No, they don't. But they still have the best basketball team. Whether they play isolation basketball or as a team, whatever country plays against the U.S. will practically have to play perfect basketball in order for them to beat the U.S., whether the games end by 3 or by 40. They have too much talent, too much depth, and when they feel like turning up the defensive pressure, there's nobody better in the U.S. Again, can they be beaten in a one-game scenario? Absolutely. This is not a best-of-5 or a best-of-7 playoff series, but if I was a gambling man, I would definitely bet my money on the U.S. to win gold, whether they win by 1 or by 40. They will always remain the favorite in terms of international competition.
Dwight Walton, enjoy. I hope we're talking next about Canada's next game in the semifinals.
You got it. You have a good night. Thank you.
Maybe tomorrow. We shall see. Busy day for the top Canadian women's teams. Got soccer and basketball. So very, very busy coming up. And, if the soccer team loses, it'll be a big disappointment. They'll still play for a medal because they've already made it to the semifinals. A very, very difficult match coming up tomorrow as they take on Germany. But if the basketballers lose, that's it. Nothing. They get nothing. So play France, quarterfinals, they win that, then they'll be in the position that the soccer team is in, with a chance to win semifinals. One track athlete has already won a medal for Canada, and that's Andre DeGrasse. He'd like to join 3 other teammates in the men's 4x100, besides the 200, which is also running. And maybe his race yesterday will help them feel good about themselves. We'll hear from the Canadian track coach that coaches the relay team, a guy who won a gold medal in the relay with Donovan Bailey back in 1996. Glenroy Gilbert from the Jeff Blair Show in Toronto coming up next on 1280 CFMB. And time to look forward after Andre DeGrasse delivers a bronze. What can Canada do with DeGrasse and 3 others and a coach that has won a gold medal in the event previously? Glenroy Gilbert on with Jeff Blair earlier today on the Jeff Blair Show. It's Sportsnet in Toronto. It's 590 The Fan. The DeGrasse model is not your normal look. as far as a gold medalist is concerned. Man, everybody was so much bigger than him.
He looked like a boy. Like they kept comparing him to little brother, right? It looked like it.
Here's Glenroy Gilbert on the build that DeGrasse has and going forward. Is that build going to serve him to being the best in the world when the other guys are gone?
Well, you know what? Like you said, he is a different, certainly a different build of sprinters. But that's the uniqueness of sprinting. They come in many different shapes and sizes. Andre's, I think what he has over a lot of sprinters is he's very elastic. While he is small, he's got a lot of elastic energy, and that's what makes him as good as he is. And I think the fact that he's just a really, really good competitor. You will never know that just by sitting and talking to him. He gets up for the big ones. It's not the smaller meets that he's really concerned with, but when the big meets come, and he's very cool, calm, cool, and collected, not letting any of it faze him whatsoever. So I think all those things put together, you're looking at a kid that certainly will have a remarkable, he's already had that, but will have a remarkable continuation of a career as a, you know, top of the world sprinting.
Glenroy Gilbert, gold medal winner himself back in 1996 with the relay team, and he says he understands what the DeGrasse bronze will mean to the rest of the relay team looking back on the gold medal that Donovan Bailey won when they were about to run the relay.
I think a lot of that is the athletes themselves. I think they watched what happened last night. They watched the men's 100-meter final, and really echoing what you said earlier, the fact that they didn't advance through the heat for various reasons. I think watching what Andre did on the track only empowered them, made them more determined than ever. Aaron's got the 200 coming up tomorrow with Brendan Rodney. So, I mean, they would have been on the track quite a bit once the relays do start. So I think what's going to happen with these guys is that really they're going to rally around the success that they saw yesterday, and they're going to just build on that the same way we did in 1996 behind Donovan's 100-meter victory. Well, you know what? Like you said, it empowered me. It empowered. I think I can speak for Bruni and Robert as well as Carlton in saying that that's exactly what it did for us. Watching Donovan win the Olympic gold medal and breaking a world record and the Olympic record for us was like, you know what? And this guy is going to anchor the team. We're gonna go out there. We're running. With greatness, essentially, and so we have to rise to the occasion, and we're going to be the best that we can be and allow us a chance to possibly get on the podium.
Glenroy Gilbert, who coaches the Canada's relay team, and you may or may not have heard in the last 24 hours or so Usain Bolt complaining about these races being so close together that it's very difficult for you to use the same racers over and over. And so Glenroy Gilbert in Canada, not even sure yet which four guys are going to run.
No, not yet. Simply because, and I was speaking to someone this morning about that and just talking about the fact that we still have three guys running, including Andre, running the 200. And the 200 kind of overlaps with the heats of the men's 4x1. So it's simply a matter of the next 2 days kind of getting a sense as to how far these guys go and who's available when we need them in the morning. I believe it's the morning of the 18th.
And, of course, the Olympics being what they are, an every four-year event, something goes wrong, and you got to live with it for a long time. And the fact of the matter is, Glenroy Gilbert coaching 4 years ago, something went wrong, and Canada was disqualified.
Well, the athletes we have right now, they don't talk about any of that. Talk about it with them. I certainly do remember it because I think it's important to remember it. It's something that I've used to learn and also when coaching, remember to indicate to the athletes just some of the rules around the track. These are things that they should generally know anyway, just as track athletes, they know it. But in the heat of the moment, sometimes, you know, just the crowd and the environment, the atmosphere out there gets a hold of you, and then you start in some instances not fully aware of where you are in terms of spatially zoned. So this is something that we certainly talk about, and the guys are fully aware of all of that. And then they've, like I said, they've run together. We've had some good relay sessions. They've got good relay background, so it's simply a matter of controlling the nerves when they get out there and being able to execute when it counts.
And finally, last subject for Canada's relay coach, Glenroy Gilbert, a gold medal winner in his own right, going back to 1996. The world learned something during last night's race and after last night's race. The relationship that DeGrasse seems to have with Usain Bolt, the greatest of all time.
I certainly believe that there's respect amongst all those guys. The guys that get through the semifinals, they get to the finals, those eight men standing out there, there's a lot of respect amongst them because they know the kind of intense battle that they have to go through to get there. Getting to the final in itself is a huge accomplishment for sprinters. That's eight of the best sprinters in the world lining up there. So there is that level of respect that they have for one another. I think when you look at Bolt and Andre, for sure, I think, and like you alluded to earlier, they are both Puma athletes. I do believe that Bolt has a level of respect for Andre simply because I think he looks at him as, you know, this up-and-coming rising star sprinter that is not to be taken lightly, especially in any heat, semis, or finals. You just always want to be aware that he's there. And as a young guy who has a lot of competitive energy, he's shooting to beat Bolt. And who wouldn't be? And I think that Bolt recognizes that, and in doing so, you know, acknowledges that, hey, you've got to be on your game every time you line up with this kid.
Great hearing from Glenroy Gilbert, who's, you know, I mean, ups and downs, right? I mean, a guy won a gold medal with Donovan Bailey in 1996. Man, those guys could fly. Canada had a great relay team 4 years ago and never got on the track because they were disqualified. And you saw the other night in the 100, the other night, last night, you know, devastating, man. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
You trained for 4 years and you took a step too soon and it's over.
And it was barely too soon. Like, did you see how close it was? It's not like he, man, that is tough. That is tough to swallow. That could be your only time in your life.
Yep.
And he's gone.
That's it. All right, we're counting down the National Football League's worst to first, which will culminate in our number one team the night before the opener, opening night, NFL, September 8th. It's a Thursday, and we'll unveil our number one Wednesday, September 7th. We're almost halfway. We've got team number 18. That's tonight. We'll find out who that is coming up after Grant's update.